It's Marketplace Tech for September 18th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It's fall, which means time for big tech companies to roll out new versions of their hardware and devices. Apple's been up to bat already, Google soon. This week, Amazon released updates to its Fire TV and Kindle tablet offerings. So far, the company Jeff Bezos built hasn't quite matched its early success with Kindles. Might this update be different? It might not matter. Here's Tim Beharin, president at Creative Strategies.
All the hardware products, even though they deliver services, are a strategic tool for their branding, of course, to get the Amazon brand deeper into the home, but secondly, as an actual vehicle for providing these services.
Tim Beharin there. Amazon, of course, has to sell enough hardware that the Amazon Prime subscription usage boost is worth it. While we're talking about hardware, tell me if this feels familiar. You've got a TV or a tablet or some other gadget, and it breaks. And even with a vast growing ecosystem of small-time repair shops, it feels easier to junk it, pull out the credit card, and eat the cost of a new device. Wall Street Journal personal tech columnist Jeffrey Fowler was trying to help a friend fix their Samsung TV. Certified repair spots wanted a couple of $100, but Fowler found he could do it with YouTube videos and a $12 repair kit.
I totally get it that some people are going to hear this story and be like, no way I'm opening up a TV and soldering in some new capacitors. Fine. But still, we all need at least the right to go to an independent shop who might do this for less and even better. But they're being squeezed out by Samsung and Apple, and the list goes on, Toshiba, all these companies that say, nope, only our authorized people can do these repairs in the way that we want and at the price that we want.
Are there any sort of big tech companies that are actually good at offering consumers easy fixes and inexpensive fixes for some of the problems that plague their devices?
Dell, the giant manufacturer of computers, for a long time has actually posted all of its repair manuals online. You can go in and do it yourself. You can also then just buy the parts you need from them. They say that this is not only good for their relationship with customers, but also better for the environment, right? Give people the power to repair these things instead of just throwing them away or recycling them. You know, there's a lot of dangerous chemicals sometimes in these devices, and the longer they can have a lifespan, the better the world is. Now, Samsung tells me, oh, our TVs are too complicated for consumers to really go in and repair them themselves. Well, my experience didn't really bear that out. And also, Dell's experience doesn't bear that out. Some people in the electronics industry get it, but some people are really blocking it.
Jeffrey Fowler is the personal technology columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Jeffrey, thank you very much, man.
You bet.
We posted Jeffrey's column at facebook.com/marketplacetech. It's Silicon Tally time. My next guest is an academic, so she will probably beat me. Kara Platone teaches at UC Berkeley and writes about science and technology. Kara, you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I am so ready.
Okay. $81 million.
Ooh, if it was $75 million, that's what Microsoft has decided they're going to donate to computer science education for students.
But you're very warm. Mayor Bill de Blasio announced this week his plan to phase in computer science classes over 10 years. New York public schools have over 1 million students, so that could be kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I like this idea. I feel like people are really trying to reach out to recruit a more diverse workforce in the future.
Do you think that it should be okay for kids to choose as their language requirement a computer language?
Oh, no, why not? You know, when our robot overlords take over in the Skynet age, I feel like that will be a really practical job skill.
All right, what do you have for me?
1.7 million square miles.
I don't know. Is this like Comcast's current coverage map?
1.7 million square miles is how much Arctic sea ice we've got left after this summer.
I don't like where this is going.
You shouldn't. NASA just released its annual satellite data imagery, and this year it's the fourth lowest figure on record since NASA started tracking this data in 1978.
If our robot overlords can make some more ice for us, then maybe I'd be okay with that, you know? All right, I got something for you. 38 minutes.
38 minutes.
This is how long it took a blogger in the UK to download the latest Apple operating system update,
Ooh.
iOS 9.
All right, I've got another number for you.
Yeah,
you
what
ready?
Do you got? Hit me.
76,900 people
are just waiting with bated breath to hit the dislike button that Facebook is building?
I think that is a vast underestimate. As of this very moment, Thursday morning, that's how many Twitter followers 14-year-old Ahmed Mohammed has on his new I Stand With Ahmed account. But
that, oh, wow. This was such an amazing story this week.
Isn't it? He is the Texas high school freshman who was detained by police and suspended from school after he came to campus with a homemade digital clock, which some people apparently thought looked like a bomb. President Obama reached out to him to invite him to the White House. He's already got invitations to go visit MIT and Facebook. And even Space Camp.
Kara Platone teaches at UC Berkeley and writes about science and technology. She's got a book coming out later this year about hacking sensory perception. Can't wait to read that. Kara, thank you very much for playing along.
Thank you, Ben. It's been so fun.
There's more of us, as always, at MarketplaceTech.org. And you can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at the Brock Johnson. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.